I don't know about you, but I've got so many things that I want to talk about today that I just can't kind of limit it to one subject. So what to do? Oh, I know. I'm going to call this the potpourri day. Let's just see how that works out.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. It's the podcast for actors in the business of show with casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach. Visit us at castingactorscast.com for more information. Please remember to subscribe and like Casting Actors Cast. Here is your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach, casting director with McCorkle Casting in New York. How are you? Boy, it's great to have you here today. Like I said in the introduction, I have so many things I want to talk about. In fact, I was at an EPA on Friday, and I made a list of all of the subjects that I want to cover in our podcasts, because I had a lot of teaching gigs and a lot of questions have come through. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to kind of take some of these questions and some of these ideas and kind of throw them against the proverbial podcast wall. And we're going to see what sticks. So thank you for joining us today. This is that moment in the episode where I want to say thank you so much for joining Casting Actors Cast. If you're new to Casting Actors Cast, welcome. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. Hopefully you found a cool place to kind of hang out and join many, many other actors at this point. I've been told that we're up to 13,000 downloads of Casting Actors Cast, and I couldn't be more thrilled. And I also want to let you know that if you like and subscribed to the YouTube version of Casting Actors Cast, I would be really grateful. That would be a great thing for me to know that you're out there also watching as well as listening to the podcast of Casting Actors Cast. Also, castingactorscast.com. That's all one word, castingactorscast.com. You're going to find on that website all kinds of information. There's information about classes that I'm teaching. There's information about all kinds of freebies. And I know I've been mentioning this every podcast now for the past, 15 or 20 podcasts. But if you do go to that section of the website called Jump Into the Talent Pool, get it? It's my little attempt at trying to be a little humorous. I don't know. Maybe you're raising your eyebrows right about now. Yeah. Well, in any case, if you go to Jump Into the Talent Pool, fill out that form. By the way, that's just information that I keep. I don't do anything with it. It's just a way of me kind of finding out a little more about you. Maybe you have a question. That's a great place to ask a question, and I'll cover it on a future podcast. But if you do that and submit that form, then up will come access to a free, yes, I did say free, 100-page free book. And it's called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the Voiceover Workshop for Professional Actors. It's a book that I put together about 5 or 6 years ago on doing voiceover work, which was something I did early on in my career and had quite a bit of success with it. And so I decided to put a book because I've been teaching a lot of classes in voiceover work, things like that. So I thought this would be great to have kind of a book. And now I'm just giving it away because it's been successful. It's in several colleges and university training programs. And now it's absolutely free. It's downloadable PDF exactly as you would buy it at Amazon.com, for example. So please check that out. It's yours absolutely free. Also on the website, and I'm a little long-winded here, but on the website there are some freebies that correspond to some of the episodes. So I invite you to kind of go back, check out some of those earlier episodes. There's one on actor's wardrobe, for example, and you literally get a handout breaking down the items that you might want to consider for the wardrobe. That kind of thing. So it's very practical. Also, I'm doing my very best to kind of do some extra episodes here so that when I go away, I'm going to be traveling out of the country. And when I do go away, though, I want to still maintain getting these podcasts out to you. But there may be, I might go back and do and repeat some of the earlier podcasts. I don't know what the best choice is. So if you want to let me know what you would like to hear about, maybe there's a podcast that you like that maybe not a lot of people tuned in on because it was like early on in the beginnings of this. So any of those things are up for fair game. But anyway, that's my long-winded announcement about going to the website Casting Actors Cast. And thank you so much for joining me. So now let's talk about it. I'm looking at my notes over here because I scribbled out a whole bunch of notes about items that I really wanted to do entire podcasts in. And then I thought, you know what? rather than kind of drawing out this information, let's kind of make it really concise and go through some of these things based on a few of the classes that I had this week. One of them is I was a judge of the National Monologue Slam taking place in New York City. That was great fun. A large turnout of actors showed up, did monologues. I did a little bit of a workshop, and it was really, really fun. Those questions that I got, a few of those questions that I got there helped me to kind of want to shape and decide a few things I want to talk about today. In addition to that, I did a scene study class at Actors Connection in New York. And that's a wonderful organization where actors go and they work with casting directors and agents and managers. And it's a really cool place to work. And I had a really good time on Saturday night working with those folks at Actors Connection. And this is also what prompted me to think and talk about a few of the things that I'd like to talk about today. The first thing I want to talk to you about are not only applies to monologues, but I think it really also applies in a large part to scene work, to auditions, to working with a scene partner, if that's what you're doing. But as an actor, sometimes you forget some of those basic tools that can be really, really helpful to you, especially if you're searching for a way to kind of get into the character. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just don't know. So like, I don't really know what my approach should be for this particular character. Well, what I have done is put it into what I call the 5 P's. You know, I love acronyms and I love vegetables. So the 5 P's, okay, a bad joke. Anyway, the 5 P's literally are a way of breaking down certain elements of the character that you're working on. Again, whether it be in an audition, in a scene, in a classroom situation. And so these 5 P's are just really, I think, really great, simple little tools that you can use in order to kind of peel away some of the mush and get to the essence or the core of where you want to be with this character that you're working on. So I think this will become really clear as I lay it out. P number one, pitch. It's really interesting to me that oftentimes in our nervous excitement, we lose sight of the fact that altering your pitch can really signal a change of direction, a change of attitude, a change of emotional connections. So, for example, I'm talking to you at this level, but when I change my voice and talk at this level, I'm changing and making a gear change. I'm making a gear change from one thought to another. Sometimes I'm changing my pitch and I'm lowering my voice as low as I can get. Now, that's, again, causing some kind of emotional shift, what I call gear changes. And a pitch gear change can be really, really useful. So maybe you want to explore, where can altering the pitch of my voice make a difference in getting my point across in either a monologue or a scene, etc. So changing the pitch can be a really great tool, something that you might want to think about. The second P, pace. Now, pace is one of those notes that almost all actors get at one time or another in their career. I know. I got many of them myself, and now I find myself giving pace notes a lot. I think the manifestation of nervousness is different in everybody differently, but what I really think happens to many of us is that we don't have any kind of a gauge, because we're smart and our brains are firing all kinds of neurons and things are going on, that we're not really aware of how fast we are speaking from time to time. Again, I think that's partly due to nerves, but I also think it's partly due to just us trying to have a more direct connection with our brains. So we go very, very quickly because our brains are fast. So the pace note is something that I think can really be helpful as well in terms of making a gear change. I'm talking at this rate probably because, like I always say, I love coffee and I'm never giving up coffee. And today I've had a lot of coffee. And what might be useful for me to think about is not just slowing down, because I hate that note, right? Directors use that note all the time. So would you just slow down a little bit when you get to this point? It's like, that's not helpful. That doesn't work. You have to help me understand where I am at and where I need to be. And the thing that I think is very, very useful is to reflect on who you're talking to in a scene or even in a monologue. It's just you talking, but who is it that you're talking to? And so you can literally adjust the pace by making sure you are emphasizing a point. You see what I just did there? See, I just adjusted the pace to make a point. See what I'm doing? So simply by slowing down but making an emotional point out of it, I think really is very, very helpful, especially if you're stuck, if you're especially like you're in a scene where you're supposed to be really, really angry, for example. Well, just by slowing down and really making your point. See what I did there? Yeah, okay, now you get it. So pitch is the first one. Pace is the second one. The third one is a really great tool for gear changing. Now you know what gear changing is. And I call it the pause. Actors, talent, many, many times don't know the use of the pause is very, very powerful and can really make a dramatic statement about where you are emotionally as the character in any given scene. So you're talking like this and suddenly you're making a point. What's always amazing is when actors are smart about that and we're writing our notes or whatever we're writing during an audition and the actor does a pause like that, it's really hilarious because everyone stops and then slowly looks up and the actor's in complete control of that moment. So the pause can be very useful and very effective. So whatever you're working on, is there a place where a healthy pause, a moment, it's either a reflective moment or it's a looking for a reaction moment. There can be all kinds of rich opportunities in there in that moment. So don't forget about using the pause. So that's pitch, pace, pause. The fourth one is punctuation. Now I put one of the P's as punctuation because I think this is awfully true. Actors oftentimes will work against what the author has written in order to give it their flair, their interpretation. I'm not saying that's inherently wrong or bad, but I am saying really do yourself a favor and invest a little extra time in understanding why the author put that comma there, put that exclamation point there, put the ellipse there, you know, the three dots. A period is the end of a thought. A comma is kind of a half thought. You see what I'm doing? I'm just breaking it down so that any punctuation that the author has written into that script was done for a reason. And be careful not to completely just omit that because that doesn't make sense to you. I think first and foremost, it's important for you to try and make sense of the punctuation. Now, if at that point you say, yes, but I'm trying to do this with that particular moment, then by all means, you don't have to necessarily be married to what the author gave you in terms of punctuation. But you must be married to the words they gave you. See, the author is there and providing the words for you to interpret through the character that you're playing. So it's not a matter of you just kind of ad-libbing your way through by making stuff up. In the same way, the punctuation is there as a guide. It's a tool. It's a reference point. So make sure that you do that punctuation, and that's number four. And then, like I said, after the punctuation, you can go on and move on to other things. So pitch, pace, pause, punctuation. And finally, the last one, the last P that I think is really of value is passion. See, every character finds themselves in some kind of a passionate moment. I guess you could exchange the word emotion, but passion I like because it's a forward thinking, it's a forward movement to it. And so the actor is passionate about their work, but the actor can also have passion in the character that they're playing. So that character's passion is also something to really take a look at. And what is this character passionate about? Why is this scene, moment, situation so terribly important? Why did the author put this scene in the play or the script in the first place? So it's passion that can really sustain a lot of really excellent moments, and it can also really grow your character in a big way. So those are my five P's: pitch, pace, pause, punctuation, and passion. So that's kind of potpourri number one. The second thing I want to talk to you about is overcoming stage fright. This is very common, especially for a lot of people who aren't actors, but I know there are many actors that really have a difficult time in stage fright. In fact, sometimes they want to go into acting because they think it's going to help them with their stage fright. And I guess many times that is the case. That absolutely can happen. But I would just caution you about a couple of things, and this is what I understand and know about stage fright. I think the healthiest way to approach stage fright is to take baby steps, is to put yourself in situations that aren't like extraordinarily overwhelming. So if you have difficulty speaking in front of groups of people, then start off with a group of two. Start off with smaller groups of people. So stage fright is not one of those things that you should force yourself through. First of all, do yourself a favor and intellectualize what stage fright actually is. One of the inner dialogue, monologues that you can have with yourself about stage fright is, what's the worst that can happen? Why do you get so overwhelmed with fear? What could happen to you? And sometimes that fear can feel very, very real and very genuine, and I don't want to dismiss it at all. But I subscribed to the conditioning of where you are so that slowly and over time you can get used to being in front of groups of people more and more. The second thing is the physical thing that you can do for yourself. And I've mentioned this in several episodes, and I call that square breathing. And square breathing literally is a way that you inhale through your nose on a four count. You hold that breath on a four count, then you exhale on a four count. Leave all of the air out, and then inhale again. And do that only four times. You don't want to do that more than four times. We don't want you to faint. But doing square breathing on a regular basis before any performance is really a way of taking back control. Because after all, it's the lack of control that we feel so frightened about, in my opinion. That's one of the elements, at least, anyway. It's because we feel that whatever we're confronted with, we have that fight or flight response. And instead of fighting through it, we decide that we want to bail. We don't feel safe. We don't feel comfortable. Well, standing in front of a group of people isn't ever always comfortable. It's something that you condition yourself to. It's something that square breathing can help, because that's the physical side. It's also something that I think speaks to your ability to concentrate and focus on the task at hand. By that, I really mean investing the energy and time and the focus into the character that you're playing. I think that that's really a cool way to slowly get yourself more used to being in front of those groups of people, because you're so focused and you're so concentrated at the task that you really have a more or greater likelihood to dismiss that those negative influences that are telling you otherwise, that are telling you this is not a safe place to be and you should probably bail. So if you do have stage fright, there's definitely some help for that. And I'm certainly not an expert, but I just want you to know that this is a common thing many people go through. But there are those little tiny tips, techniques that you can use and see if that helps. By the way, if you have an issue with stage fright, I would love to know what happens to you. If you could let me know, I certainly would do some more research and certainly talk to some therapists or psychologists, because I think it would be a really interesting topic for us to talk about. Because I think it should be not an infringement or impose on your creative self. I think it should be part of the whole picture, and that making it manageable is going to be the key ultimately. So I'm so grateful that you tuned in. I hope this was helpful. Let me know. Go to Casting Actors Cast, fill out that form. Let me know if you have any questions. I would love to take future questions. I hope you have a really, really great week, and we'll see you next time on Casting Actors Cast. Thanks.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support, just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.